Well, good morning, everybody. Just before I get to the message, I want to acknowledge a transition that's happening. Oscar and Rose Fuentes have been directors of our clean team for a while now, and they're ready for a break. And so we want to thank them for their leadership and announce that Scott and Pam Tate will be taking over the leadership of the clean team. All right, the rest of you got your Bibles. You could turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. The title of the message is Meeting God on the Mountain. Now, normally when we're in 1 Kings 18 and 19, people talk about the showdown at Mount Carmel where Elijah took on the prophets of Baal. Remember that story? And or the communication at the cave when Elijah's in the cave and he hears the whisper of God after all the other stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Or do I need to read both whole chapters to get you up to speed? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. But there's more that happened in this story. We know from 1 Kings 18 in the showdown on Mount Carmel that Elijah had a great victory. Remember, he challenged the prophets of Baal. He said, let's find out who the true God is. You know, if your God is real, he'll burn up the sacrifice. But if my God's real, he'll burn up the sacrifice. And Elijah won, hands down. No problem. Great victory. But then when we get to chapter 19, we find out that Elijah is not feeling victorious anymore. He is feeling worried and weary. And so here's a lesson right at the outset for us. Often after a great spiritual victory, there will come a letdown. Has anybody ever experienced that before? Okay, I think it's kind of common, actually, that when we really have a powerful move of God and we experience a great victory, that there's sometimes is followed by a letdown, and sometimes it's because the enemy wants to reverse what God just did. Okay? That does happen. In fact, in chapter 19, verse 2, we find out that Jezebel, who was the evil queen, was threatening Elijah. And then he began to feel fatigue and fear. And this was all right after a great victory. And yet here this mighty man of God is feeling worn out. And he's concerned about what's going on. And so first of all, let's talk about this. Elijah was worried. Jezebel had threatened him. She said, this time tomorrow, you're going to be a dead man. And so he was worried. Somebody said a day of worry is more exhausting than a day of work. That is true. Absolutely true. But the Bible says that we should not worry. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And then a little bit later in Matthew 6:34, he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Boy, isn't that true? There's enough trouble today that I don't need to be worrying about tomorrow. George MacDonald said, no man ever sank under the burden of the day. It's when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear. That's pretty true. That's what worry does. It wants to sink you. In fact, Jesus talked about worry in Matthew 13, and he talked about how it can actually hinder our walk with the Lord. He said about the seed. Remember, the sower was sowing seed, and he said some of the seed fell among the thorns. And he said, that is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So we can hear the word of the Lord. We can be a follower of Christ. But if we let worry overtake us, it can actually obstruct our walk with the Lord. It can choke the life out of us. Here's the truth. Jesus tells us not to worry. But sometimes we still worry. Okay? And I know what that's like. I can worry sometimes. It's probably good for the pastor to confess once in a while. Sometimes I worry about things, and I know I'm not supposed to, but I have a hard time turning the switch off. You know what I'm talking about? So then what do? I know I shouldn't be worrying, but I'm worrying. Well, the only thing I know to do is ask God to help you. The scripture also says, be perfect. How many of you got that one down 100%? We say, I can't do it. So all you can do is ask the Lord to help you. You know he's calling you to that, and yet you're not there, so all you can do is ask the Lord to help. That's it. We all struggle with worry. Here, Elijah, mighty man of God, is worrying. But we have to just call on God for help. Oswald Chambers says, worry is an indication that we think God cannot look after us. But in truth, we know that God is in control, don't we? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that God is still in control. No matter how worried I feel, God is still in control. In Luke 10, classic story, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but Mary has chosen what is better. What was Mary doing? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. There it is. Got to turn to the Lord in times of worry. Years ago, in the pioneer days of aviation, so way back, a pilot was making a flight around the world. And after he'd been gone for about 2 hours from his last landing field, he heard a noise in his plane which he recognized as the gnawing of a rat. He realized that while his plane had been on the ground, a rat had gotten in. For all he knew, the rat could be gnawing through a vital cable or a control of the plane. So it was a very serious situation. Remember, this is the pioneer days of aviation, where the planes were not all that sophisticated yet. This could be a bad deal. So he was concerned and anxious. At first, he didn't know what to do. It was 2 hours back to the landing field from which he'd taken off, and at least 2 more hours to the next landing field ahead. But then he remembered that the rat is a rodent. It's not made for the heights. It's made to live on the ground and under the ground. Therefore, the pilot began to climb. He went up 1,000 feet, then another 1,000, and another until he was more than 20,000 feet up, and the gnawing ceased. The rat was dead. He could not survive in the atmosphere of those heights. More than 2 hours later, the pilot brought the plane safely to the landing field and found the dead rat. Worry is a rodent. Cannot live in the secret place of the Most High, cannot breathe in the atmosphere made vital by prayer and familiarity with the Scripture. Worry dies when we ascend to the Lord through prayer and His Word. There it is. Take it to the Lord in prayer, as the old song says. So Elijah was worried, but he was also weary. We find that starting in verse 4, he was exhausted. And we get weary too, don't we? Anybody here ever get just worn out? Yeah. You know, in 24 hours, we accomplish quite a bit. Your heart beats 103,000 times. Your blood travels 168 million miles. You breathe 23,000 times. You inhale 438 cubic feet of air. You eat about 3.5 pounds of food, give or take. You drink 2.9 quarts of liquid. You lose 0.7 pounds of waste. You speak 4,800 words or more. You move 750 muscles, and you exercise 7 million brain cells. It's no wonder you're so tired. We all feel that way from time to time. Bobby Moore wrote this little article. He says, I read about a woman who telephoned a friend and asked how she was feeling. Terrible, came the reply over the wire. My head splitting and my back and legs are killing me. The house is a mess and the kids are simply driving me crazy. Very sympathetically, the caller said, listen, go and lie down. I'll come over right away and cook lunch for you, clean up the house, take care of the children while you get some rest. By the way, how's Sam? Sam? I don't know a Sam. My heavens, exclaimed the first woman, I must have dialed the wrong number. There was a long pause. Are you still coming over? Wouldn't that be nice? Isaiah 40, verse 30 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. So everybody gets weary from time to time. It's a natural part of life. But those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You need rest? It's ultimately found in Jesus. And I know there's things we can do, you know, get the proper amount of sleep, eat right, exercise, those things can help you. But I'm talking about the ultimate rest is found in Jesus, where your heart and mind can be at rest no matter what is going on in the circumstances of your life. That is found in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it talks about how he endured the cross and the shame of the cross. And then it says, we should consider him so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. When we get our eyes focused on Jesus and we turn to him, and we recognize everything he's done for us, it can help us overcome the weariness of life because rest is found in Jesus. So Elijah, the man of God, was worried and he was weary, but he went to where he knew God was. He went to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb, that word Horeb actually means solitude. So he went to the place of solitude. And this is actually part of the Sinai where Moses had his burning bush encounter. Okay? It was also where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Now, we don't know if Elijah had been here before, but he knew about Moses, and he knew that Moses met with God here, so he went to that place where he knew God could be met. Please note that it's a mountain. It will take effort to get to the place, especially in our fast-paced, noisy society. You are very accustomed to noise and activity in your life. But you need a time to simply get quiet and get alone with God. That's hard to do nowadays, because we are very accustomed to a flurry of activity and a cacophony of noise all around us all the time. But we need a time and a place to just be quiet and get alone with God. That's what Elijah did. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Also note that this started in a cave. After he climbed the mountain, now he's in a cave. Elijah was depressed and afraid, and even after making his way to the mountain of God, he was still hiding out in a deep, dark place. And I think sometimes we do the same thing. We know enough to turn to God in our troubles, but we aren't quite ready to listen to him, and we wallow in our despair. But if we will be quiet and listen, we can hear God speak into our situation. Elijah turned to God, and eventually he listened to God. Kierkegaard said, a man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking, but he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer is listening. We need to remember that, church. So often we go to prayer and we're asking for this thing and that thing and so on and so forth. And it's right for us to ask for the needs that we have, but there's also a time where prayer is simply listening. God, what do you want to say to me today? Help Help me to hear your voice. It's a mountain. Very few people have ever scaled Mount Everest. Anybody here climb Mount Everest? Yeah, I didn't think so. Compared to the number of people who have ever lived, those who scaled Mount Everest are far less than 1%. It's actually something like a decimal followed by 10 zeros and a 4. That's the percentage of people who have scaled Mount Everest. It takes a tremendous amount of determination and effort to climb Mount Everest. But the good news is, this mountain that we have to climb to meet with God will not require that much effort. It is available to all of us. But it will take some effort, because it's hard to get quiet and get still and listen. Or am I the only one who struggles with that? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? But once he got into that place where he was hearing the still, small voice of God, we see three things happen. God strengthened him. Actually, that happened as he was on his way to meet with God. God was already strengthening him. St. Augustine says, when God is our strength, it is strength indeed. When our strength is our own, it is only weakness. Boy, is that true. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. God is our strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. It's his strength that enables us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak, that's when we can really experience the strength of God. He will strengthen us. Erwin Lutzer says, you become stronger only when you become weaker. When you surrender your will to God, you discover the resources to do what God requires. God loves to help out humble people who need help. When we are weak, God's strength shines through, and God can strengthen us. And then we see also that when Elijah finally got to the mountain of God, and he got to the place where he was quiet and listening for that small voice, he actually heard God speak. Johann Toller says, if you keep watch over your hearts and listen for the voice of God and learn of him, in one short hour, you can learn more from him than you could learn from man in 1,000 years. We need to hear God's voice. So important that we hear God's voice. Frederick William Faber says, there is hardly ever a complete silence in our soul. God is whispering to us. And whenever the sounds of the world die out in the soul or sink low, then we hear the whisperings of God. He is always whispering to us, only we do not always hear because of the noise and hurry and distraction which life causes as it rushes on. God wants to speak to us, but we're not really listening. Psalm 25:14, the Lord confides in those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. God wants to speak to people. He really does. Stanley Jones says, the voice of the subconscious argues with you. When it's just you talking to yourself, you tend to get in your argument with yourself. Yeah, I do that. When I just kind of play ideas around in my head. But the inner voice of God does not argue. It doesn't try to convince. It just speaks. And it's self-authenticating. God just speaks. We need to listen. Job 33:14 says, for God does speak. Now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber, God speaks, but we often don't perceive it. we can hear the voice of God. So here Elijah was worried and weary, but he went to where he knew God was, and God strengthened him on the way, and God spoke to him, and ultimately God gave him a solution. You know, in Elijah's case, he was feeling like he was all alone, and he didn't know what to do, but God says, no, 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 you are not the only one. There's a bunch more that I've reserved. Now go on and meet up with these people, and he gave him some instructions. God gave him a solution. Psalm 38:15 says, I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer. God will answer. We had a word given last Sunday that God always answers our prayers. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait. But God will answer. Psalm 65:5 says, you answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. God answers. Psalm 91:14-15. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. That's the word of the Lord speaking. He has a solution for you. Are you listening? When you're worried and weary, meet God on the mountain. Make the effort to find that place of solitude and silence, and he will strengthen you, he will speak to you, and he can even give you solutions. Scripture says Elijah was a man just like us. James says that. He was just like us. And God used him powerfully. And yet we see here in chapter 19 that he's struggling because he feels threatened. He's worried and weary. But at least he knows enough to turn to God. And God helps him through his tough time. Church, we can learn a lesson from Elijah. A man just like us. We all feel worried from time to time. We're all weary from time to time. But we need to make sure we always turn to God. Find that place of solitude and silence and just see what God will say. God can strengthen. When you feel weary, God can give you strength. And God will speak to you. When you have no idea what to do, you feel all alone, God will speak to you and reassure you that he's with you. He'll see you through. And God can even give you a solution. Where it seemed like there was no way, as we sang this morning, God will make a way. God can do that. We used to sing a song, and I just want to read the lyrics to you. It says, O Lord, help me to hear you, to sit quietly before you, to cherish and adore you as I open up my heart. Pour your spirit upon me, as I yield to you completely. Oh Lord, I just want to meet thee in your mighty, gentle way. Is there anybody here feeling a little worried and weary today? Anybody? Okay, there's a few. Yeah. I think we all do from time to time, and perhaps right now you're especially feeling it. I've gone through a season very recently where I've felt that way. But we need to make sure we always turn to God. He has the answers. He has the peace and the rest that we need in the circumstances of this life. And we need to hear his voice. Church, we need to hear his voice more than ever. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. So many circumstances, so many ideologies are shouting at us that we need to find a place to be quiet and just hear the voice of the Lord. We need that desperately today. Would you bow your heads for a moment? God, help us to always turn to you. no matter what the circumstances are, Lord, no matter how frustrating life may be, help us to always turn to you. Then, Lord, I pray that you would help us to really, sincerely find that place of solitude and silence so we can hear your voice. So we can find the strength we need. We can find peace even in the midst of a troubled life because it's in you. Is there anybody here today that would say, you know, this is really especially a message for me today? I'm really struggling. Okay, there's several hands going up. God, you see each person here. You know the hearts of everyone. And Lord, for those who are really in the turmoil right now, God, I pray that you would minister to them and bring them peace in their time of trouble. Help them to hear your voice, Lord, and be encouraged that you are with them. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them. And Lord, if there's some solution that could help them through this process, I pray that you would speak that to them as well. But mostly, God, I pray that you would just encourage them that you are there. They're not alone. Speak into their situation, Lord. Lord, I pray for all of us that you would help us to hear you better and better. Lord, we admit that we are weak. We often don't know what to do. But you always know, and you're strong. So help us to hear your voice and only follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God's blessings on you. Have a great week. And this week, make sure you find some time to just get alone with God. See you next time.